I've done this before. Wow. Good to see everybody this morning. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. They say that Mother's Day is, there are more cards sent out on Mother's Day than any other day, even for Father's Day. So Mother's Day must be very important. You know, we think all the fathers are the most important thing, right? Because I'm a dad, right? The statistics have said that Mother's Day is the most cards are sent out on Mother's Day. Because why? Yeah, like my wife said, the mothers has birthed us, not the dad. And if I've also heard that if the dads had to, we have two offerings today, don't we? Okay. Well, I wasn't talking just to have you guys give an offering. I forgot it was. This is our missions offering. If you're visiting with us, this is our missions offering. But yeah, they say if dads had to give birth to a child, every family would have one child. They wouldn't have any more. Oh, zero. But yeah, Mother's Day is an awesome day. I was reading some statistics in a college. Said to with one word they did an interview with 600 college students, and they said with one word, use one word to express love, use one word to express love, and I think it was 400 out of the 600 used one word, and that was mother. Wow. You know, we're just gonna brag on the moms today. And the grandmas and the moms today, because, you know, they're underappreciated. They're not, you know, they're very busy. They're doing everything the man is doing, and then the man sits down and gets to sit on the couch and relax, and the mom's still working. The mom's still running around. The mom's still doing things. So I just want to say, you know, happy Mother's Day, but say I want to thank you, mothers, for everything you've done. I read this story. It's a story of a little girl, and she was in Walmart, and she was crying, and the mother was saying, "It's okay, Ellen, it's okay. We're almost done. Take a deep breath." The mother said several times and never lost her cool. When checking out at the cashier, the cashier said she had seen her and her daughter, and she was amazed how patient the mother has been with her daughter, Ellen. And the mother looked at the cashier and said, "Her name is not Ellen. My name is Ellen." And that's kind of how, you know, mothers, I mean, they're you know, it's okay to talk to yourself. It's okay to say, you know, think that, like, you know, you see a bunch of mothers, you see a woman in a store and she's talking to herself, she's probably a mother. She's probably a mom. You know, and so when I read that, I said, that's so typical. I don't know if I ever saw my mom talk to herself. I thought she was talking to me, but probably for many, many years she was talking to herself because of my brother and I. But I just want to, you know, a lot of our mothers are here, but I just want to honor my mom and say thank you to my mom for everything she's done for me. Because when we read this story about Timothy's grandmother and mother, everything we talk about, you know, always comes back to church, always come back to her grandmother, or I mean, her mom and dad, you know, how they went to church. And, you know, you've heard my stories, being brought up in church, sleeping on the pew, going to every service. I mean, they thought they were in a marathon to go to church, you know. Church was like, every time the doors were open, they were there and they would lay us on the pew. But I look at all those times now, and I'm thanking my mom because she was very sincere in her faith. And we're going to talk about the sincerity of faith, but also she lived the life. And I just want to say thank you to my mom who lived the life, not just preached it, didn't teach me religion, but she taught me Jesus in the best way she could. But she lived that. So I want to encourage moms today, thank you, Mom, that you just didn't teach us to a certain age. You kept on loving on us and teaching us, but you also, you know, portray that, and that's who you were, and that's why you're still sitting here today, and I thank you for that. I have a great relationship with my mom, and I hope everyone does. They're special people. So, You know, I want to talk about leaving that legacy for mom. Moms and grandmas and, you know, single moms, no matter who you are, if you're a mom, you're a mom. And it takes work. But I want to encourage you today, it's an inheritance that you pass down from generation to generation. Your job is to leave a legacy, to leave a legacy for your children, for your grandchildren. You know, when we grew up, we had the smallest house, we had the smallest yard, but everybody wanted to come to our house. I had friends that had pools, had a big yard to play, and everyone came to my house. And sometimes I would get very angry. It was like, why do you want to come to my house? I had to play in the road because we had no yard. I mean, literally, I'm a kid playing in the road, and we weren't supposed to play in the road back then, and you're not supposed to play in the road now, but it was even worse back then because they would take our football. You know, the cops would come, and we would run, and everyone would always forget to pick up the football, and the cops would come and take the football, and I'd have to go down to the police station, have to call my dad. Hey, Dad, they got my football again, and my dad would go, okay, I'll go talk to the cops, and, you know, it was like, but all our friends wanted to come to my house. And I just said, don't come to my house. I want to go to your house. But the reason why everybody wanted to come to my house was for one reason, and that was because my mom and dad. They loved my mom and dad. And that's what I want to say thank you for, is because when these kids went to college and got married, they still came back and visited my mom and dad. And that's who you are, moms. You may think you're not special. You're probably tired. You probably want to give up, but I tell you, it changed my life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. God is still faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Psalms 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. God's passing this down, moms. God is passing this down. Being faithful in the fear of God, the reverence of God, being in an awe of God. I want to encourage moms today. This is all about you. I'm going to encourage you. I may repeat myself because I want you to know when you walk out of here, I don't care if you're a single mom. I don't care if you have 10 kids, 12 kids, one kid. I don't care if you're a single mom. I don't care if you're married and you're struggling with a spouse who's not supporting you. God is with you. He's your father. And he's your spouse. He's your best friend. You can do this because there's a lot of, and we're going to read about it in 2 Timothy. And Paul was waiting for his execution. He's in the Roman prison, and he uses this time to write what is probably his last letter recorded, and he records this, and he writes this to Timothy, and we're going to go to that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to read a couple verses. But so, it's just so jam-packed, and even in this one verse, in 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine, I think that says unfeigned, which means sincere faith. He says, a genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And we're going to go to chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, from his grandmother and his mother, and that from childhood you have been known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul he's in a prison. This is probably one of his last letters that he's going to write. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the grandmas. He's talking about the moms. He's saying he's bringing to remembrance to Timothy. So this is so, you know, like you think moms that you're forgotten of. Here's Paul. He's in prison and he's writing this letter that we are reading hundreds of thousands of years later about a grandma and about a mother. You are very important, and you are very special. And so, you know, if because of Lois's love and obedience and faith in God, it was seen and it was embraced by her daughter, and then it was given to her son, Timothy. It's because of Timothy's faith through his grandmother and his mother that we have the letters that the Apostle Paul has written. Think about it. I want you to think about that. We're reading these letters, and Paul is ready to be executed, but he's saying, you remember your grandmother? You remember your mother? And he starts off with sincere faith. Now, I'm telling you, there's a spiritual inheritance that we all give to our family, to our children, to our grandchildren. There's a legacy, moms, that you will leave. You will leave a legacy. You will leave an inheritance, whether it's monetary, money, spiritually. Hopefully, spiritually is going to be what you're thinking of. But in Acts chapter 14, we read that where Timothy was from was Lystra, and it was not a place where Christians thrived. Paul was beaten there. He was dragged outside of the city. He was left for dead. That was in Timothy's hometown. So we know that this wasn't some place where a lot of Christians were just flourishing. Yeah, they were flourishing, but Paul was getting beat up, and he was left for dead, and that's the kind of the hometown that Timothy was brought up in. So I want you to think about that. You know, we're brought up in a rough time in our world, and it may be in our cities and villages. We talked about it before. But God is still faithful. He's still faithful. Paul's writing this letter, and we're reading about it. Why? Because even in those times, God says to the moms, you're going to leave a legacy, and it's going to be a spiritual legacy. And then Paul talks about very little about Timothy's dad. It says he was a Greek. So probably he wasn't a believer. And so here we have a mom who's married to someone who's not a believer, has no influence. It doesn't talk about an influence in Timothy's life. He just talks about the grandmother and the mother. And so sometimes we look at it and go, well, you know, sometimes my spouse is not supportive of me, and, you know, and we're struggling and everything. I want to encourage you, moms. It's okay. God knows. God still loves you. He's still supporting you, and he's still there for you. So when we read this letter, I want you to say, well, you don't know, Pastor Tom, because, you know, I live in a household where I don't have support. Well, Timothy and his mom didn't have support. But Timothy's life was awesome. He becomes a pastor of churches. You know, and he goes on missionary journeys with Paul. So the lack of support from her husband, it didn't deter Timothy's mom from making sure that Timothy was taught the Word of God. Moms, teach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God will be with you and stand with you. Timothy's mother and grandmother made sure that Timothy knew God's promise. When it talks about the Scriptures, this is what the grandmother and the mother were teaching to Timothy, that a Savior was going to come to rescue them, and all the people from rescue them from all their eternal condemnation of sin. The Savior was going to come. Jesus was going to come, and he was going to bless this nation and everything. This is what they were teaching. This is what she was teaching. Are you teaching your kids that the Savior has come, and that the Savior is here, and that he's here for you? And so Timothy, when Paul writes his letter, that you learn from an early age the scriptures, that's what they were saying. They were reading the Old Testament saying, Jesus is going to come, the Savior is going to come, and he's going to do all these things. And I think that's just awesome. We're still reading about that. That's what Timothy was learning all the time. Together they look forward to the day when the promised Savior would arrive, and through his perfect life and sacrificial death and glorious resurrection, he would secure their salvation. That is what Timothy was taught. Are you teaching your kids that? Are you teaching your kids that? This is what Timothy was reminded of, that the Word of God was so important. Moms, if you must make a choice between being politically correct or biblically correct, hopefully you will choose biblically correct. Because biblically correct changed Timothy's life. Not politically correct. And so the first thing we see, it was sincere faith. I want to talk about that a little bit. Sincere faith. That word, it means sincere, but it means without hypocrisy. It was a sincere faith. It was without hypocrisy. It was a faith that believes, even if we can't see it, I'm leaving a legacy and I'm passing it down, and it's going to be Jesus. That's sincere faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Timothy's grandmother, that's what Timothy's mothers were living by. They were saying, I may not see it. I've read about the Savior. I've read about this Jesus who's coming. And we're going to teach that. And even if I don't see it, even if I don't see Jesus, I'm leaving that legacy. That's a sincere faith. Moms, you have to have a sincere faith. A sincere faith endures. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. You are leaving a legacy to follow. Endurance. Hang in there, moms, because God is there for you and with you. And I'm telling you, your kids appreciate you more than you can think or imagine. I know when the kids are growing up, the last thing they think about is their mom. But when they did that study, 4 out of the 600 used one word for love, and that was mother. I'm encouraging you, moms. Endurance. Hang in there. And sincere faith is a faith that's alive. Because Paul says in verse 5, he says, it dwelt in your grandmother and your mother. It dwelt. That means it's alive. Your faith, moms, is alive. It dwells in you. We know that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and it habitates in us. And so that word indwells means habitates. I'm telling you, moms, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is living inside of you. He's living inside you. He's alive. The Word says it's powerful and it's alive. Don't ever let the world tell you, oh, you're just a mother, and God doesn't care. No, you are going to leave a legacy. Come on, church, you're going to leave a legacy. This is. I want you to catch this, because we do struggle. We are very busy in life. But God says, it dwelt in them. It's alive in you, moms. It's alive in you. Don't ever forget that. I'm going to encourage you today. The Greeks, they had a race in the Olympic Games. And the winner was not the first one that crossed the finish line. But the winner was the one who crossed the finish line with his torch still lit. Is your torch still lit for Jesus? You know, I made it through life, but is your torch still lit for Jesus? Moms, it can be. It can be. Sincere faith. Have sincere faith. Have sincere faith. The key to endurance is maintaining a watchfulness. Not opening up a gate to let the enemy come in to your family or to your children. Because the Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. But moms, you are the watchful eye. There's a lot of moms. I know my mom and my grandma, they prayed for me all the time because I needed help. I needed help. And they were always in prayer. And it was that watchful eye. They were like the gatekeeper for me. Moms, don't stop being the watchful eye, the gatekeeper for your children. Because your children are going to grow up one day, they're going to have children, and you're going to be like, you know, Timothy's grandma, and said, I had a watchful eye. I started at a young age with my children. Moms, be that gatekeeper. Be the gatekeeper. God's called you to be a gatekeeper. Mom, be biblically correct. Determined to live for Christ in such a way that people will see your faith. You can do it. Sincere faith. The second thing is that they modeled, the grandmother, Timothy's grandmother and mother, they modeled the scriptures. They just didn't speak it. Moms, you have to model it. You have to model it. And so set the standard, even at a young age. Consistency without hypocrisy. That's actually what that word means. Without hypocrisy. Children can see through someone who's fake. You know that. Children can see through that. With God being removed from the public places, God being removed from schools, you know, they're teaching secular humanism. Your child has a little chance growing up to be a Timothy in the Christian values unless it's taught to them. We have to teach. I read this. It said, an ounce of wisdom from mom is worth a pound of wisdom from the pastor. One word from you moms is more powerful and more weighty than me getting up here for a half hour and teaching this stuff. Your children need to hear it from you. Not from the schools, because they're not going to get it. Hopefully from the church, which they do here at Calvary. But that's one day. Moms, teach it every single day. How do you teach it? Love on your kids. Like Jesus loved on you. Even when you were maybe a person that wasn't walking with God. And your children sometimes may be far off. That's okay. God still loves them. You still love them. And you teach them. You teach them. They will learn what you live. They will learn what you live. A child that sees her mother carry a Bible to church and only open it on Sunday, that's all church is to that child, a Sunday morning church. Are you reading your Bible during the week? Are you getting into the Word during the week? Are you praying with your children? Are you just talking to them about God? You don't preach to your children. You love your children. Did Jesus preach to anybody? He really pretty much taught everybody, and he taught it out of love. Love your children as moms. Love them, but teach them. Sincere faith is so important. Modeling is so important. It's so important. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Model that during the day. Let the word dwell in you so you can richly give it out to your children. Model it. Sing songs. Praise God. Thank God. Just, you know, even in your household, let your children know. Let your children see that religion or Christ isn't just a Sunday morning service. It's an everyday lifestyle. I'm encouraging you, moms, you can do this. You can do this. You're going to leave a legacy. And the Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There are many times I departed from, you know, God didn't really mean much to me. But I never, as much as I didn't want to be in church, as much as I didn't want to go all the time, but I never forget all those times. I have never forgot it. And I'm so thankful that my mom and dad didn't listen to me, but they said, hey, we're going. We're doing this. And so I encourage you. Your children are listening. Your children are absorbing it. They're seeing it. But don't stop teaching your children. Train them up. Train them up. God's with them. And I'm so glad that my parents never gave up on me. And so the third thing through the scripture here, it was a sincere faith. They modeled this all the time, but they taught their kids. They taught. They passed it on. Are you passing on the Word of God? Not just your own family values, but are you passing on spiritual values? So 2 Timothy, we read it, verse 14 through 17, but I'm going to read it again. We need to pass this on, moms. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15, and that from childhood, from early childhood. I've talked to some parents, and they tell me how they'll pray with their kids at night before they go to bed. Young kids, they pray with them. They're teaching them at a young age. You know, our grandson, Caden, he'll come home and he'll say things that he learned and downstairs with Tanya, you know, and they're not going to forget these things. They are not going to forget these things. When my grandson comes up to me sometimes and he goes, Dad, or he goes, Papa, I don't feel good. And I said, well, what does Papa tell you to do? He says, I put my hand where it hurts and I say, in the name of Jesus, go. He's 3 years old. Teach them. You think God doesn't hear that? He's no respecter of person, moms. You can do this. You can do this. But at an early age, and that from early child have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want your children equipped and complete for every good work in God? Do you? Just teach them. Teach them the Scriptures. Be sincere in your faith. Model it and teach them. As Paul thought of Timothy, I love this. As Paul thinks of Timothy in prison, I said it in the beginning, he's going to be executed soon, one of his last letters, and who does he talk about? He talks about the moms. That's how important you are. Think about that. Think about that. Apostle Paul is writing this, and all he's doing is saying, hey, it's all about the moms. It's all about the grandmas. And so we are reading this. Can there be a greater legacy to leave than the one that demonstrates sincere faith, modeling and teaching the Scriptures to your children? There isn't any other legacy, moms, that you could possibly leave. Who better prepared to accompany Paul on his missions trips but Timothy? Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, we have a lot of our young kids that go on mission trips. A lot of our young kids here at this church. They're just doing what you've taught them. Release them. Let them do what God's called them to do. I know parents that their son wanted to go to Bible school, and the parents discouraged him from it. And it's like, parents, moms, when your kids walk up to you and say, I just want to serve Jesus, man, you encourage that. You be all over that. And you say, you do what God's called you to do. Leave that legacy. Who better was prepared than Timothy? His mother and grandmother planted the seeds of faith. The Apostle Paul watered those seeds, and Jesus Christ came and brought the increase. Moms, you can be the ones to plant the seed. You be the ones to just plant the seed of faith in your children. Who better was prepared to accompany Paul on those mission trips but Timothy? Think about it. Paul and Timothy traveled with each other throughout the Roman Empire, proclaiming the message of Christ as Savior to people, every nationality, every social status, every race, every gender, teaching and training Christians and preparing them to teach others. That's what you moms and grandmas are doing. You are preparing your children to go teach and go win this nation for Christ. Think about it. It is not just like, well, hopefully when you leave here today, you go, man, I'm more than just a mom. You are. You're special. You're more than just a mom. If Paul can write this letter, and we're still reading it thousands of years later, I'm sure I'm sitting out here with all you moms. You all have a story that you can tell about your children, and hopefully one day your children are going to come up here and say, I thank God for my mom. That's why I'm here. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. God is with you. There may be times that you feel like you're fighting a losing battle. There may be maybe your spouse or your children or your grandchildren are just kind of not supportive or they're away from Christ. Keep being a godly influence. So important. Don't give up. Keep planting the seeds of faith. Keep planting the seeds. Moms, you're a gardener. You have a job. You're going to dig up the soil, and you're going to remove the rocks. You're going to remove the weeds. You're going to remove everything that's preventing your children from seeing Jesus. You're a gardener. Take on the role. What a blessing to see when you plant that flower or you plant that seed. And then when you see it grow up and you see it flourish, those are your children. Your seed, your children. It's it. Don't give up. You're a gardener. And you're planting, and you're planting, and you're planting. I mean, I'm looking at these young kids in this church. Look at these young kids in this church. Moms, you're doing it. Dads, you're doing it. Not just the moms, I understand, but there's something special about a mom. And all these young people are here and growing and growing, and your children are here. because of you. Yes, you may not think that, and you may think, yeah, but where is my son or where is my daughter now? You keep on loving Jesus. You keep on teaching. You keep on praying. You keep on being a mom and keep on loving, and you leave a legacy for your children. Because many children have come to the Lord, and their parents never saw that. But they've stood up here in churches. I've been in churches where they said, you know, I wish I, you know, walked with God when my parents were alive, but I'm here because of my parents. I'm here because of my mom. I want to encourage you this morning. You can do this, moms. And the thing about this message is we're reading about it 2,000 years later because a grandmother and a mother decided to have sincere faith. They decided to model, and they decided to teach. So you can do this. You can do this. I'm going to leave you with this. Three things, what you teach them. You teach them about the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. And you teach them that through the Scriptures. That's the most important thing. And the last thing is, you're preparing them for service. You're preparing them to go walk with Jesus, and you're preparing them to do the work of the Lord. Wow, that is awesome. I want to encourage you, moms, today. You can do this. It may be hard. You know, you may say, Pastor Tom, I've got to do this alone. That's okay, you're not alone. You're with Jesus. And he's going to love your child more than you could ever love your child. It's okay. But I want to encourage you, we're here, and we're reading this scripture because of a grandmother and a mother. That's who you are. So I want to encourage you this morning. You can do this. You can do this. It's all about being faithful in your faith to Jesus first. Being faithful to Jesus first. Mothers of faithfulness. So I want to encourage you, the mothers and grandmothers. And today, this morning, we're going to pray. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a couple people out at the back to hand you out some flowers, so please on your way out, pick up a flower. But we're going to pray for the moms and the grandmas and right now. Could just the moms stand up? We just want to acknowledge you. Moms, hallelujah. We're going to pray for you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What a beautiful church we have. Beautiful moms, hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads and pray. If you're around one of the moms there, just lay your hands on them, and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Father, for who you are. God, you're an amazing God. You're just like, God, you love these moms. You love these moms. God, you've created them, Lord, to start planting the seeds and teaching them and modeling who you are with their children, Lord, in their families, Lord, even for their children's friends, Lord God. God, that they would be a model that even like in my situation, you know, friends wanted to kind of be at our house because of my mom and dad, because of how, you know, my mom was. So, Lord, we thank you, God, that they would leave a legacy, Lord, a legacy all about you, a spiritual inheritance for their children and children's children. And God, we thank you, God, because you are faithful. And we're still reading about this through Paul in the letter he wrote, Lord. Thousands of years later, we're still talking about how you instilled the word of God in these moms. And Lord, today, you know, it may look like it's a struggle. It may look like it's hard. But God, you are with them. You never leave us or forsake us. It's the same word that was given 2,000 years ago that we're reading today. And you are faithful who is promised. So we thank you this morning for these moms. And Lord, we thank you for the moms that will become moms, ones that are ready to give birth, Lord. God, as they listen to these words, Lord, continue to strengthen them, Lord God. Continue to reveal yourself to them in a special way, Lord, as they raise up their children, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you all the honor and glory because it's all about who you are and God and what you've done through your son, Jesus Christ. And so the three things we're going to remember is teach them about you, the Savior. Teach them it through the Scriptures. And Lord, prepare the children for service for you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So good to see everybody. Come and fellowship with us downstairs. come get a flower on your way out. Hallelujah.